Good morning, church. As you're finding your way back to your seats, look at a neighbor and say, I am glad. I don't believe you. Try it again. Say, I am glad that you are here. Now say, God loves you. And there's nothing you can do about that. Amen. Welcome to church this morning. Give yourselves a nice round for applause for getting here today, huh? Hey, good morning. My name is Pastor Jeff. I'm the pastor here at Royal Oak First, and I just want to welcome each and every one of you to worship. As you've just said to each other, let me make sure I say it again. We are glad you are here. There is lots of places you could be right now, but you have chosen to get here, to be in God's house among God's people in order to hear God's word, and most importantly, to be deployed into God's work in the world. And so I just want you to know we're glad you're here. If one of you wasn't here today, we wouldn't be the same, so we're just glad all of you have found your way here today. And if you don't hear anything else that I or anyone else says today, make sure you know that God loves you. You. And there's nothing you can do about that. Doesn't matter where you've been. Who's my amen corner? I appreciate that. Amen it right there. Thank you, Dick. That's my amen brother back there. Doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been through. Doesn't matter who you love or who loves you. We are glad you are here, and God does love you, and there's nothing you can do about that. Our ushers are going to be coming on down the center aisle here now with what's called our Ritual of Friendship pad. They're going to pass those out. That's how you record your attendance with us. If you're with us for the first time this morning, I met a couple of first-time worshipers with us today. We are especially glad that you made it here today, and we want you to feel welcome in this space. Let us know that you're with us in the attendance pad, and then pass it down the row, and as it gets to the end, pass it back to the center so that you can see who's seated in the row with you today. Take a look. We call it Christian nosiness, and figure out who your neighbor is and welcome somebody by name after the service. Before I get into the announcements, I got to tell you about something that happened to me this weekend. We took our youth group. You know, Bridget's been working with the youth group on Sunday nights, and they took them to this place called Airtime in Troy. Has anybody been to Airtime? It's this great, yeah, kids, right? It's this great big trampoline park. It's like all it is wall-to-wall trampolines. You know, I wanted to join in the fun, right? So I got on the special trampoline jumping socks, and I jumped around all, and I can't get as high as Mr. Murray over here. That guy can almost hit the ceiling. But there's this really cool spot I was watching. They got trampolines that jump into this pit full of foam, right? These foam balls, right? And I watch kids jump into it for hours and do these flips, and I finally, like, now it's my turn, right? So I lined up, I ran, I took that jump, I flew into the pit, I landed, and then I couldn't get out. And for the next 11 or 12 minutes, it took about three employees, and they almost had to call a helicopter to hoist me up out of there. Right, Ivy, do you remember? Yeah, it was quite a moment, right? I lost my socks in the bottom of the pit. They're still there. So Bridget was going to go Facebook Live and be like, please pray for Pastor Jeff. We are in minute 7 of him stuck in the ball pit. So I'm actually especially glad to be here with you this morning. I have a couple of announcements for the good of the community. Hey, we exist here at Royal Oak First for lots of things, but one of the most important things we do is make sure that the door is always open for you on your journey. If you're new to this journey here with us, we want to especially know that you are welcome here. And one of the ways we do that is every other month we just have a gathering of those new pilgrims in our midst that want to say, hey, I'm on this journey with you. I want to know more about what God's doing in this church and how I might be involved in that. I want to invite you next Sunday afternoon over at my house. Come on over to Bridget and I's house right here in Royal Oak, 3113 Marion, right off of 13 in Maine, right between the 7-Eleven and Star Park, all right? You can find our house, and we would love to just host you that afternoon. We want to hear your story. We want to know where you've been and what you've been through, and we want to talk about how you might join us in this journey of faith. So come on over next Sunday. Three ways you can let us know that you'd like to come. One is always at our Here I Am, Lord table after the service in the fellowship hall. You can always RSVP in the office during the week, and frankly, you can just show up on Sunday, and we'll be glad that you came. We'll be happy to take you in. Okay? Second thing I want to make sure you know is that we've been reading a book here this month called Weird Church, right? The more I read it, the more it matches you, right? This is one weird church, right? You're talking about what weird churches are and what weird churches look like. Weird churches say, you know, we got this great building, but we want to make sure that it's open to everybody in the community. That's weird, right? In a culture that says, what's mine is mine and we should keep it and protect it, weird churches are saying, open the doors and let the community come in and enjoy our space. We want to come and talk about what it's going to mean to be a weird church, a church that loves in a weird way. So come this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, here at the Fellowship Hall. I'll be there, and I want to talk to you about your weirdness and about the weirdness that is the church. Also, I want to make sure you know that this Wednesday starts Lent. Can you believe it? It's going to be Easter in 6 weeks, right? I know, wasn't it just Christmas, right? So Lent starts this week. In your bulletin today, there's a brochure. Everybody see that brochure? That is yours, right? Take that home. Put that on the refrigerator. It has all the things that are going to be happening during the Lenten season here. But it starts this Wednesday with an Ash Wednesday service here at 7:30 right here. Come in for a simple service, a quiet singing, prayer, and reflection. And we want to help you begin this journey towards Easter. But all the stuff that's happening during Lent you can find in your bulletin or in that brochure. But it starts this Wednesday. I want to bring up one more friend here to make one last invitation to ministry. Come on up. This is our seminary intern, Renee McCarge. We introduced her to you a couple of weeks ago. And part of what Renee needs to do as part of her internship is she has to, like, organize something. And so this is what God has called her to do, to bring to us. And she's going to tell you about how you can help her in her internship.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Jeff. I am tasked with putting on an event that I believe so much in, and it's the power of personal prayer. So the event that I'm going to do is going to be Saturday in the afternoon here in the sanctuary, March 25th, from 11 to 2. And we are going to gather here, and we are going to watch a movie called The War Room. And if you haven't seen it yet, don't watch it before. Come on in and join us. It's good for even kids, I would say 9 to 10 and above. And we are going to watch a movie that is so powerful that is a testament to carving out that time in your life to spend with Jesus every single day. So if you've been a Christian for 50 years or you're new on this journey, it's just an amazing way to start spending time with the Lord and fighting your personal battles with Jesus every single day. And I can tell you as a daughter, a wife, and a mother of three children that I have learned over the past 7 years that there is nothing I do for my children or my family that is more powerful than praying for them every single day. So I would like to ask you to join me on this journey, and we will gather here on Saturday, March 25th, and I would love to see you. Thank you.
Okay, guys, here's the deal, right? Renee is our seminary intern. A couple of weeks ago, we pledged to help her on this journey. So the worst thing that could happen is she holds a class and nobody shows up for it. She'll get an F, right? And we don't want her to get an F. So would you please come and support Renee in helping her not only bring us something, but also help her develop these leadership skills as she grows in her ministry. Would you thank Renee for stepping out into this call to ministry? Amen. Will you stand as you're able and let us dedicate our offering?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise, thank you, fellas.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, for we have indeed been anointed to bring good news to the world. Whether it is in pillows, or presents, or bikes, or bag lunches, or birthday parties, anoint these gifts to get out of this place and these givers to follow them out into the world, to be a part of its very transformation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, friends. You may be seated. Thanks, Mike. Thanks, Richard.
From John, the 14th chapter. Jesus replied, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been with you all this time? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I have spoken to you, I don't speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me does his works. Trust me when I say, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on account of the works themselves. I assure you that whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. They will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask for in my name, so that the Father can be glorified in the Son. When you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it." The word of God for the people of God.
Mary Lou just read the most unbelievable passage of scripture maybe ever written. And it was so unbelievable that it didn't even shake you. What she read in that is, I think, among Jesus' most unbelievable words. And the fact that you aren't, like, freaking out means that you just simply don't believe it anymore. Did you catch what she said today? Did you catch what she said Jesus said about you today? She stood up here and said, if you believe in Jesus, you will do what he did. In fact, you will do greater things than him. And by looking at you, you don't believe that one bit. It's the most unbelievable thing Jesus ever said. I mean, we would rather him say to us, love your enemies and pray for those who hurt you than what he said today. We'd rather believe that it's better to turn the other cheek when somebody hits you on the one, let them hit the other one, than to believe what he said today. Catch it again. Jesus said, if you believe in me, then you will do what I do. And you will even do greater things than me. That's right. You will do what I do. In fact, you will do it even better than I did. My goodness, if we ever believed that, our lives would never be the same. You will do what I do, and you will do it even greater than me. Man, if a church ever rose up and believed that, the community that was attached to it would never look the same. Catch that, brothers and sisters. You will do great things. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Whoever believes in me will do the work that I am doing. So if you believe, then you get to cure the sick and bring healing to the brokenhearted. If you believe, then you and me, we get to bring good news to the poor. If we believe, we bring freedom to prisoners. If we believe, we can help those who are actually paralyzed with fear, who are stuck in their depression, who are stuck in their addiction. We can help them move again. If you believe, then we will do the works that Jesus did, then we can actually help bring sight to a world blinded with hatred. We can actually help people hear above the noise of division, words of grace and love and unity. We can do the things that Jesus did. We can feed the hungry even with just a few fish and a Chinese dinner. You can welcome the stranger and the outcast and the sinner to the table. We can change and transform and be a part of saving this world. In fact, Jesus said, you will do even greater things than me. Oh, I wish we believed that. Oh, how I wish we believed that. So how is it possible that Jesus could say such a thing to us? Don't forget, brothers and sisters, we claim that the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit that lived in Jesus, now lives in you and it lives in me. Let that sink in for a minute. The very Spirit that lived and resided in Jesus, we say now lives and resides in you. When you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror for the first time, you should be like, hey man, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I guess you don't say that when you first look at yourself in the mirror in the morning, right? I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in me, right? The Spirit lives in you. Jesus, in the fullness of his humanity, was no different than you or I. Because the same Spirit that lived in him lives in us. So in the fullness of his humanity, Jesus came to show us what the fullness of ours could be. Because that same Spirit that lived and resided in him now lives and resides in us. And Jesus said, whoever believes that, whoever trusts that, will be able to do the work that I did. You'll be able to bring healing to the sick and freedom to the prisoners. You'll be able to feed the hungry and clothe the homeless. You'll be able to preach hope and transformation to the world because my Spirit that lives in me also lives in you. Then he says the most unbelievable thing of all. He says, actually, you'll even do greater things than me. One of the reasons I don't think we understand it is because, I think our brothers and sisters who live in the South might understand this. So we've got any Southerners here, people who lived and raised in the South, right? You know, we Northerners, like when we say you, we think we're like talking about like you. Like you, Brian, you are gonna do greater things. And we're like, I don't know if I am. Our Southerners, though, they have a word that we Northerners don't use a lot. Y'all. Right? I mean, if you read it in the Greek, Jesus is saying y'all. Well, not really, but that's the way we translate it, right? Jesus is saying y'all are going to do greater things than me. Together. Because there's more of you than just me. And there's more of my Spirit in this place than just me on my own. You all together can do amazing things. You all together can start a ministry for special needs kids. You all together can hold birthday parties for kids that nobody throws birthday parties for. You all can do greater things than I could on my own. So let me just ask you this morning, why don't you believe that? Why don't we believe that? I'll wait. Somebody tell me, why don't we believe that? We're not good communicators. Say some more, Charlene.
We don't share our feelings about things as well as we share other people's feelings.
Why don't we share our own feelings? What's going on in our head?
Fear.
Fear. Who said fear? You're the hero. Yes. What are we afraid of?
Ridicule.
We're afraid of what? Being judged.
Being found lacking.
Being rejected. What else are we afraid of when it comes? I know you're all like, would you please go back up there? Because I'm afraid of this right now. If you do this again, I am never coming back. Some of the new people are like, I'm not coming here ever again on a Sunday, right? I don't do this. Well, I do this a lot, but not yet. So, what are we afraid of, right? I think you've nailed it in that sense. There's a part of us that has been so conditioned and trained and even theologically trained to believe that somehow God is up here and we are down here, and this gap in between us is the kinds of things that make us always come up lacking. That fundamentally, in the back of our head, we don't believe what Jesus says, that we are worthy of doing the work that he did. In fact, we can do it as well and as better and sometimes even greater than he did because there's more of us. We don't believe it because somewhere deep in the back of our mind, we have been conditioned to believe that we aren't good enough, that we aren't smart enough, that we aren't holy enough, that we aren't enough in order to be able to do this. In fact, some theological traditions, we've got to like sometimes unpack what we learned in our own theology school and match it with what Jesus says to us today. There are theological traditions that actually say to all humanity, you are totally depraved. That God is way up here. You're way down here, and this gulf in between us can never be solved on our own. And here comes Jesus into the middle of that and says, guess what? My spirit is the same spirit as you, and if you believe that, then you can do the same things I do. So get over this feeling that you're not good enough. Because I came today to tell you that you are. In fact, you can do even greater things than me. Jesus' word challenges us and reminds us that we were created for greatness. That we were created for goodness. There's another reason, I'm going to meddle a little bit here this morning, that we don't want to believe what Jesus says this morning. Because let's be honest, there's a part of us that's glad that we can't do what Jesus did, right? Because why? It lets us off the hook. Right? This theology that Jesus does it for us sometimes means that we can turn our back on all the problems and brokenness of the world and say, hey, that's yours, Jesus. And Jesus comes along and says, if you believe, then you can do what I do. And you can do even greater things than me. So if you don't hear anything else that I say today, brothers and sisters, hear this. You, each and every one of you, me, each and every one of us, we are created to be a part of God's great transformation of the world. And you have a part to play in that. Yes, you. Yes, you. And I believe in part that's why you're here this morning. I believe in part that's why you're here every single Sunday morning. You're not just here to get your religious card punched so you can turn it in at the end of a lifetime and say, look, I paid my dues. You're here today because you believe in part that you want to be a part of the transformation and changing of the world. You want to help make a difference. You want to help leave your mark. You want to help change this broken world. That desire in you, that's God in you, right? It's that thing in you that doesn't let you off the hook, right? That moment when you're driving down the road and you see the guy standing there with the cardboard sign and that thing rises up in you and you're not sure what you're going to do in that moment. Anybody have that moment? Every time you see him, that's God saying to you, what are you going to do? Not just about this man standing on the corner, but what are you going to do about the fact that some of my people have to stand on the corner? And it rises up in you. And sometimes we feel like the right thing to do is to give a little money. Sometimes we drive past and it sits with us all day. Whatever that is, that's rising up in you. That's God within you. How about that moment when you're watching TV and the infomercial comes on with the dogs and Sarah McLachlan starts talking and you find yourself crying and you're like, oh my goodness, touch the channel. That's God rising up in you, right? It's like Caleb, next time when we do like a major offering, he's just going to sing that song by Sarah McLachlan and we're just going to reap in all the dough, right? I mean, you know, but that's, well, that's them playing on that God thing in you. Right? That's God rising up in you. In seminary, we learned about a theologian by the name of Paul Tillich, and Paul Tillich pushed us and challenged us to understand that God just isn't a being that's up here distant from us, that God is indifference, the ground of being, that God is that thing within us that rises up and says, you have to be involved in the things of this world that are of ultimate concern. That thing that doesn't let you off the hook. That's God in you. And I'm here today to tell you that until you figure out what you're going to do with that, that feeling is never, ever going to go away. So I have to ask you the question that I started asking you 3 weeks ago, and I need to ask it to you again this morning, and I need to ask it of me. Where is God calling you? You! Where is God calling you to be involved in the places of ultimate concern? Isaiah, here I am, Lord. Use me. Last week, Caleb said, you have a gift that God can use in order to be about the transformation of the world. And your gift doesn't need to be the same as his gift, and it surely doesn't need to be the same as my gift. That was just to make sure you're still awake. So what is your mission? What is yours?
Bring order out.
Right. Bring order out of chaos. And you're good at that, sister. That is your gift. My hope and dream for each and every one of you is in our journey together that eventually, without a shadow of a doubt, you'll be able to say, when the pastor asks that question, what is your mission? You'll be able to say, this is how I serve God in the world. Because the cool part is, when you can say, yes, this is how I serve God in the world, then when I call you and ask you to be on a committee that isn't what you're called to do in the world, you can say, nope. This is what I do in the world for God, and I don't do that. But if you don't know what you don't do, then you're fair game for me. I want to be absolutely clear on that. Right? I remember going to lunch with Tracy one day, and I had something I needed her to do. I don't remember what it was, serve on some life and death committee, I'm sure, right? Tracy sat there and said, but I got to tell you what I'm called to do. I love knitting blankets. I want to gather other people that want to knit blankets, and I want to take all of our blankets to the Teen Crisis Pregnancy Center here in Redford. So she could say no to whatever thing I needed her to do because she knew what God was calling her to do. What's your mission? I want to help you know there's three lenses that will help you, each and every one of you, start to figure out the exact answer to that question. Where is God calling you and what is your mission? And they all start with P. You can figure it out through your profession, you can figure it out through your passion, or you can figure it out through your pain. Let me give you an example. This is Mike O'Connor. This is Bridget's cousin, Mike. Mike is an accountant. He's a tax accountant. This is his busy season. During this season, Monday through Friday, he does tax returns to make money to help support his family. On Saturdays, he sets up shop and does tax returns for low-income people for free. In particular, he helps them get what's called the Earned Income Tax Credit, a credit that most low-income and poor families don't even realize they're eligible for. And he helps them fill out the paperwork in order to get those few extra tax relief dollars so that they can put more food on their plate or so that they can afford extra things for their kids in order to get them to school. Mike, over the last 25 years, has helped literally thousands of poor and low-income families with his profession as a tax accountant figure out how to leverage that for God's good work in the world. Mike knows his mission. God has used his profession in order to help make a change. What's your profession? How could God use it? Are you a nurse, a doctor, a lawyer, a plumber, an electrician, a salesman? Are you a video guy? How can God use all of this training that you've developed over your life in order to leverage it for the kingdom? Maybe God's asking you to use your profession in order to make his love known in the world, to do great things for the kingdom. A second area that it can happen in is the world of passion. The woman in the middle, that's my friend Susan. Susan is an artist. Susan loves to paint. She loves to draw. She loves to do pottery and ceramics. Susan took her passion for art and gathered a bunch of other people who like art. And once a week for the last 7 years, she goes down to the NOAA Project at Central United Methodist Church, which is very similar to our bag lunch program. And once a week, she goes down in a van and she shows up with art supplies. She shows up with markers and crayons and scissors and ribbon and tape. And sometimes they bring pottery and ceramics. And there with the hungry and homeless of our community, for one day a week, they do art together. And the people who never get a chance to do art have a chance to take a break from the travails of their life, and they get to tell their story through art. For the last 7 years, Susan and a group of people have created a ministry called Art and Soul. And they've discovered some of Detroit's best and most unknown artists. Their art now is on full display in that church in a little gallery that is their own. These hungry and homeless people may not have a home of their own, but they got their own art gallery. This last year, she took the art and the artist to Art Prize in Grand Rapids. She used her passion to do great things. You don't have to even look very far from right here in our own place. This is our own Paul Kramer. Where's Paul? He's here today, right back there. Everybody knows Paul, right? What's Paul's passion? Being a goofball, right? He is a goofball for Jesus, right? Paul Kramer, he's never met a stranger in his life, right? I was talking to his kid the other day. He says, I was with my dad at the grocery store, and right there over the watermelons. My dad's having some conversation with this woman, and I'm like, you must have known her for 25 years. And he's like, no, I just met her. That's my new friend at the watermelons, right? Paul can just meet people. And so how does Paul use his passion for people and his desire to be a good guy and a goofball for Jesus? We put him right there at the front door at 11 o'clock, and he meets and greets everybody who walks in here. My very first Sunday that I came here as a new pastor, trembling in my boots, I am so thankful that the very first guy I met was Paul Kramer, because Paul gave me crap right on the first day. He teased me, and I knew that I was going to be okay. And that day, he looks for you, and he helps you find your seat. And if you go missing for a couple of weeks, who's going to notice? Paul. Hey, we haven't seen Joan in a couple of weeks. Is she okay? Thanks for asking, Paul. I'll give her a call. Paul's passion for people, put in the right place, is doing great things for God and his kingdom. How are you using your passion? You like fixing cars? Maybe you like going fishing. Maybe you like to bowl. Maybe you like to golf. Maybe you love to read. I don't know what your passion is, but how can we leverage that for great things for God's kingdom? God can use your profession. God can use your passion. And this little 11-year-old girl taught me that God can even use your pain. This is Carly. Carly was born with Turner syndrome, which means Carly will probably never grow above the height of 4'5". She'll never be able to have children. She lives with arthritis. She's racked with pain. You wouldn't know it. She's a go-getter in every way sense of the word. And in her 11th year, she got diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. As they were trying to figure out what was going on with her body, she spent a week at Children's Hospital undergoing this diagnosis and trying to figure out how they were going to now deal with this in the midst of everything else that Carly was dealing with. A year afterwards, as the anniversary of her 1 week stay at Children's Hospital came up, Carly came up to her pastor and she said, Pastor Jeff, I need your help collecting crayons for the Children's Hospital. Because you see, while I was at Children's Hospital that week, it was the art room that helped me get through that week. And Pastor Jeff, I bet you didn't know this, but at Children's Hospital, every time they get a new box, a kid wants to use a box of crayons, after they use it, they have to throw it away. Because we can't risk in the Children's Hospital that I may have some disease or germs that might get passed on to the next kid who comes in after me. And so every time there's a box of crayons, it has to be brand new. And Pastor Jeff, I want to make sure that there isn't a kid that doesn't need crayons that doesn't miss it. Will you help me collect crayons, Pastor Jeff? How many crayons do you want to collect, Carly? I want to collect 1,153 boxes of crayons. Why 1,153 boxes of crayons, Carly? Because that was what my blood sugar was when they took me into the hospital that day. What was it supposed to be, Carly? 80 to 125. Carly, you're still lucky to be here, aren't you? I am, Pastor Jeff. Will you help me collect some crayons so I can do something great? I'll help you do that. 4,000 boxes of crayons later, Miss Carly is doing great things for God's kingdom. God can use your pain. God can take your divorce and help you help others who are going through that moment in a support group. God can take your grief over the loss of a loved one, a parent or a child, and God can help you create a support group where you can help others through their pain with that. God can take your depression or your addiction and help form support groups and recovery groups so that others can benefit from the greatness of your walk and your journey. God can even use your pain to do great things. So what is your mission? Until you're able to answer that question, there will be a part of you that's always uneasy. And I'm glad about that. So let us help you answer that question. Let me tell you how you know that God is working in a place. It's when you're on Friday and you got your sermon done. Your sermon's been done for several weeks. You got the PowerPoint done. You're ready to put it away. And this guy walks into your office. Be careful when Bill Bond shows up in your office on a Friday at 4:00 and says, I want to talk to you about what God's calling me to do. Bill, what are you passionate about? Bill's passionate about a lot of things, but one of the things Bill is most passionate about, the thing that he loves to do, Bill is a student of the stock market. Bill loves to learn about the market. He loves to learn to invest. He's always studying that. He enjoys it. It gives him great joy. He walks around with a computer, and anytime he's got an extra minute, he's got that computer open, and he's looking, and he's buying and trading right there on the moment. He just enjoys it. It's lots and lots and lots of fun. So Bill and I talk, God, what could God do with that? He says, well, I don't know. And before we were done, we came up with this idea. Bill's going to start right here at Royal Oak First, a stock club. It's going to be called Kingdom Investors. And all the dividends, all the profit isn't going to go into anybody's pocket. It's going to go in order to make more birthday parties happen at Methodist Children's Home. It's going to go to buy bikes for kids in Brightmoor. It's going to go to help build churches in Lithuania and in Haiti. So I reached in my pocket and I gave him my first $20. I said, Bill, go make a million out of this. God's going to use Bill's passion for great things for the kingdom. Bill wanted me to know that he needs your help. So if you have an interest in the stock market, would you come and help Bill do that? He doesn't want me doing that. I know how to raise money. I just don't know how to spend it. Right? But Bill's, there'll be a sign-up sheet at the Here I Am Lord table. Maybe you want to help Bill do that. Maybe you've got a run that you've been making happen here in the community for lots of years. Oak Apple Run is going to happen here again in a couple of years. You know that the Frences this year are going to leverage their run in order to build houses for the homeless at Cass. Great things. Taking Kim and Jane's passion for running and now using that in order to make homes for the homeless. That's greatness. What is your mission and what is God calling you to do? Marianne Williamson is famous for this quote. May it trouble you as much as it troubles me. She writes, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Nope. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It's our light, not our darkness, that frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You were meant to shine. You were meant for great things, as children are. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. And it is not just in some of us, it is in every one of us. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. So let me ask you again this morning, where is God calling you? What is your mission? Will you let him into your profession? Will you give him your passion? Will you turn over your pain? Let God do something great with it. Until then, may you be troubled until you finally answer that question. Caleb, take us home, brother. Kingdom get here, and when we start to believe what Jesus said to us today, that his spirit is in us, and since it's in us, we can do the work that he did. In fact, together we can do even greater things. In a couple of weeks, our choir is going to sing a great piece right up here called the Rudder Requiem. It's going to be great. But what's going to be greater is the next Saturday, they're going to go sing that same piece at Woodward Hills. nursing home. They're going to sing it for men and women who haven't been to church in years. That's greatness. Brothers and sisters, you are destined to do great things. So get out of here and go do it, all right? Amen.